Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Tux Lerzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
We come to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn, where we record on land belonging to the Lenape Nation, a nation that is one of many still very much out here doing its thing, and we would like to acknowledge that.
Hell yeah.
We be drinking, we be swearing, and we be recording a mini-sode today.
Yeah.
Today is our first ever remote recording. We're not in the same room before our very eyes.
So you're not in Bushwick, even though we
Nope.
just said that we're in Bushwick.
Oh yeah, I need to figure out. I
Yeah.
know. I need to figure out the
I'm still on Lenape land.
yeah. I need to get the land acknowledgement for Michigan, for Detroit. I am in Detroit right now. Our Patreon supporters are very aware of this already, but I don't know if we've really mentioned it as much on the show
Oh, I
yet. I
guess
can't
we
remember.
haven't. I don't think we have.
It might have come up in passing, but anyways, my husband and I bought a house in Detroit. We're keeping our apartment in Brooklyn. I feel like we're still going to be recording most of the episodes going forward are still going to be recorded in Brooklyn.
Yes.
But the house is undergoing a pretty significant renovation at the moment, and I needed to be here to sort of oversee fangs. So we're doing the remote Zoom recording thing today.
Hopefully it sounds seamless. It sounds like us. So I'm just going to jump in. If you've listened to last week's episode, then you know that the 1923 Supreme Court revealed a lot in the span of a few months. It's back-to-back rulings against Takao Ozawa and then against Bhagat Singh Thind confirmed just the nebulous nature of whiteness and how it was not this scientific classification, a never been that. It was this kind of shape-shifting ideal that's kind of based on conformity that can be altered at will to exclude people whose jibs we don't like the cut of,
Yes.
essentially.
Or
So
the
that
color of.
the co yes yes the color of, thank you. So in the case of Thind, even though he was by all of the classifications of the time a Caucasian man, he was not white because of his skin color. The Supreme Court said that his whiteness was judged based on whether white people would feel comfortable considering him white as well.
Oh, that is the stupidest fucking shit I've.
Right? Like, if Ted thinks you're white, then you're white, really, SCOTUS? Like, that's your ruling? Okay. So, in this mini, I am talking once again about our racial caste system, but I'm talking now via the lens of the US Census.
Oh my.
Yes. I mentioned this in the last episode that Afghani people, as well as Ukrainian people, are both considered white according to the US Census.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, huh is right. So in this mini, I'm talking numbers. I'm talking about which ethnic groups have been historically counted versus which have just been absorbed into whiteness, and why have they been absorbed? The why is pretty obvious. The why is because of white supremacy. They need the numbers. It's pretty simple, their reasoning. So I want to mention up top because I think every time I talk about how whiteness has changed over the years, I hear like first gen, not first generation, like third and fourth generation Irish and Italian being like, oh, you know, there was a time in this country when they were discriminated against. And that's 100% true. There was a time when they were denied jobs, where some of them were even lynched. Like it was really, really bad. However, according to the US Census, they have always been white. There's never been a question. They've always been counted. They never had to go to the Supreme Court, like Thind, to be recognized as white. So I just wanna say that up top. So have you looked at the recent census data, like from 2020? I still think 2020 is like this year.
No, not really. I know.
And by looked at, I mean like, have you read an article digesting it with like
No.
infographics?
No.
Because shit is dense.
No, I have not.
So most of the information that I got for this mini is from 538.
Okay.
It, 538 is where I offload all of my statistical thinking. I am not math smart. Like I am I am dumb when it comes to that. And like, I haven't really known numbers since I stopped working in a bar and like was forced to know math a little bit. That was many moons ago. So the biggest takeaway from the latest census was that despite, you know, kind of the fudging of the numbers, the proportion of Americans who identify as only white fell 11 percentage points.
Oh.
Which was slightly faster than was anticipated.
Okay.
And also the number of Americans who identify as multiracial jumped 276%.
Wow.
Over the last decade. And I'm going to explain why in a moment. So as a result, depending on how you count the numbers, the share of Americans who identify as white either rose 2% or dropped 9% because of like mixed race people was a new category that was added. And a lot of mixed race people are half white.
Sure. Yeah.
White people are still the majority, according to the census, but experts argue that if we could accurately count everyone in the U.S., it mm-hmm. would already show that the country is majority minority.
Yeah.
And probably has been for a few years. Mm-hmm. Gen Z is the most diverse cohort our nation has ever seen. They are already a minority majority grouping.
Mm-hmm.
But because there are people from North Africa and Middle Eastern people who are being included in whiteness, it's very likely that once things are revised, it will show we will have a better, a more accurate demographic representation.
Yeah.
I found this quote from a professor at the University of Michigan. He teaches Arab American studies. He said that that reality meaning like the fact that we are already a minority majority country scares a lot of people. I really do think that there are people who don't want an accurate count of our nation.
Sure.
Which is like, you think?
Yeah.
So the census has had a really long history of kind of just upholding whiteness. And I just want to talk about that. So in the first few censuses,
sensei sounds like
wrong.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a, it sounds like a sensei. Sensei.
Yeah, exactly. It's a census taking master.
Yes. Oh no. Oh God. Yeah, I feel like the census is that wrong that they would have that. So in the first few, censuses taken between 1790 and 1810, there were only three terms that were used to measure racial categories. There were free white people, there were enslaved Africans, and then there were just all other free persons.
Huh, okay.
But as the population of free people grew in the early 1800s, including the population of free black people, the census imposed a kind of more rigid understanding of race with a focus on racial purity.
Aha, uh-huh. That sounds very American.
Right?
We love racial purity.
We do. We love a pure race, whatever that means. So more than it has for any other group, the U.S. has revised who it classifies as mixed race, specifically mixed black and white race.
Okay.
You know, because of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
It became a little tricky. Like, white men kind of raped themselves into a bit of a pickle. They did, though.
Yeah, I know.
They did.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm going to get into this later, but like there are white people now who are saying that half white means white. And I'm like, girl, it's never been that.
No.
And like, could you imagine the society, like our country would be so fundamentally different if the products of rape were considered white and like would have those privileges, would have property, really profitable property, would be able to take part in like America in the way that white people are. Like, could you imagine if that happened in the 1800s? What? Like,
we just had a half-white president.
Exactly. Was he treated like he was white?
In no way whatsoever was he treated like he was white.
Yeah.
Half white is blacker than black. Like,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, it, I mean, there was one drop rule was a thing.
Yeah.
Was totally a thing. And I'm going to dive into it a little bit deeper. But it tells you just how desperate, like, this, like, we all should feel, actually, even though this country feels like a dumpster fire right now, like, I feel it. We all feel it. We're all conscious beings in 2020. Like, this is the fucking death rattle of white supremacy. Like, it's getting sad that they're trying to play these games and, like, bend over backwards to be like, no. Like, you need numbers that badly that you're trying to do this? Okay, sure. So, white people, they, as I said, they got themselves into a bit of a situation. they had to mint a new race. An inferior one, of course. And they called them mulatto. Have you ever heard mulatto before?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Okay. Absolutely.
In what context have you heard mulatto? The absolutely has me questioning. Like, what's...
I mean, I feel like that was a very common... When I was growing up, when I was, like, you know, a younger person or a teenager or whatever, that's what you said.
Yeah,
instead of, like, mixed race or whatever.
Totally.
That we would say now. That's what people said. And it wasn't until years later that I realized that that was not a nice thing to say.
Yeah, same. I had the same realization because it was a word that my mom would use just to describe light-skinned people. And I'm just like, do you see yourself? Because you are just as light-skinned as this woman that you're pointing at. So on the 1850 census, the race mulatto made its debut. Mm-hmm. And it would be on the census until... until 1930, which is like so recent. That's less than 100 years ago. And it just feels
honestly,
so cringe.
I'm surprised it wasn't more recent, though.
Oh,
just
okay.
Given how commonly used it still was in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm backing up a little bit. So in 1890, two more races were minted.
Okay.
Quadroon and Octoroon. Have you heard of these?
Never, not at all.
Oh my God, amazing. So they were added to the census.
Wait, you didn't say that in high school?
No.
Look at that quadroon over there. No, I have no idea what it means, no.
My cousins in Germany, they would be quadroons. And like my niece, like their kids would be octoroons. So it means 1/4 black and 1/8 black.
Huh. Why do we need this?
Thank you. Why do we need this? So it was debuted in 1890, but it was never used because 1/4 black is white phenotypically.
Yeah. Like,
my cousins have light hair and light eyes. Like, the fact that they would be this new subsect of blackness is like absurd. So they never used it. It's on the census, but there's zero people that are tallied this year because it would have cut too much into the white race and they would have lost their majority.
And honestly, even people who were born to like half black, half white parents, or one half black, half white parent and another white parent, you know, they're not going to run around and tell people that they're part black.
Yeah.
If they pass as white and they're welcome into white society, they're not going to be telling people that they have, you know, their grandma was black. They're not going to tell anyone that.
Yeah.
Especially, what was it, Octoroon?
Octoroon. 1/8 black is
white.
Like, what is this?
Yeah.
But that's like, that's how preoccupied this country has historically been with race. It's like, it's so wild. Like that Octoroon, like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but the census taker, the sensei, is not going to be, the guy is not going to tell you.
I want to call him a sensei.
Yeah. An octoroon is not going to admit it to the census taker.
No, because he wants to live.
Yeah.
And like he's getting a whole bunch of benefits. And like, you know, people, especially in the South, like my mom grew up with so many people that, you know, they were passing or like they knew people. Like there were family members. Okay, let me try to explain this. So my mom had friends who had family members who were living as white people.
Yeah.
Whereas they were living as black people. Like that was so common in the South.
Yeah.
Because of all of the, you know, all of the rape, unfortunately. So if you can pass, you're not telling no one.
Yeah. Even if you were raised in a black family, if you're able to pass, you're going to do it. Because there's so many benefits to being able to pass.
You're going to marry some white dude. You're going to have some octoroons. And you're going you're going to move on with your life.
Hi, I'm Natalie.
And I'm Cass.
And we're the hosts of Shared History,
a comedic history podcast exploring the stories of the often overlooked or underrepresented.
The people and events your history books may have glossed over, whitewashed, man-washed, or left out completely.
From the Mayan creation myth to the Deaf President Now movement of the 1980s.
From ancient scientist Avicenna to first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, Wilma Mankiller.
If you saw it in a footnote once,
or have never heard of it,
we are here to share it with you.
Join us in a rotating guest list featuring scholars, writers, teachers, entertainers, entrepreneurs, subject matter experts, and more.
Tune in to Shared History on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, you know the drill.
And follow us at SharedPod on Instagram and Twitter.
And as always,
share you later.
I've had like two glasses of wine. I'm just like, woo!
Yeah.
So in 1930, something kind of similar happened with Mexican people. So they added a category of Mexican in 1930. And it was eliminated the next run of the census because there was a lot of backlash. There were a lot of Mexican people who were afraid to identify as Mexican because they thought that they might lose their citizenship.
Oh, sure.
Or they would lose certain privileges, like to, you know, to have property or to marry a white person. Like, sure, that would be considered illegal if they selected this category. So the Mexican government, they lobbied really, really hard to have all these immigrants classified as white.
Oh.
Because they wanted to reinstate their eligibility. They wanted them to be safe, essentially, in this white supremacist country. They're like, no, they're white. Like, they don't need their a special thing. Like, they're white. Like, just let them be white.
But I mean, just based on the story that you talked about last week, we can see that their skin color is different.
Yes. I mean, that's the case for a lot of people who are classified as white.
Yeah.
Like, Algerians are white. Palestinians are white. Afghanis are white.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. But again, they need the numbers. Yeah. So nowadays, the census, they've stopped using, you know, these really dated racial categories to track citizenship. Instead, it's introduced a bunch of new, mostly nationality-oriented categories and race options, which is more clarifying. And they've also included a question about Hispanic ethnicity, which is a little sticky.
Sure.
However, these categories still do not fully reflect how many Americans identify.
Yeah.
Because like you said, there are people who are classified as white whose lived experience is the opposite of white.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're from Algeria and you're wearing a turban, your ass ain't white.
Yeah.
You're not being treated like you're white.
Totally.
Just because you have light skin, like you clearly have a culture outside of this one. So the best example of this is what I was just saying. Like, there are a lot of Middle Eastern people. Have you heard of the umbrella term MENA, MENA, or SWANA, SWANA?
No.
So MENA stands for Middle Eastern North African.
Okay.
And SWANA stands for Southwest Asian and North African. I want to send you a map of this area because it's actually very, very fun. So these countries are considered white by according to the U.S. Census.
Oh,
okay. I know, right?
Huh. Yeah.
Sudan and Mozambique. Okay.
Yeah.
The fact that they are breaking up North Africa is very problematic because it is a very mixed, like phenotypically mixed society. I think we have the idea that a lot of them are just, that all of them are super light, but no, it's mixed like it is here.
Yeah.
These are people who are considered white. However, their lived experience proves that they are not white. They do not have the full benefits and privileges that come with being under the umbrella of white. So they have been lobbying their lawmakers. They have advocates who are pushing the government to add a separate category for these groups. They're all fine with just using the category of MENA, Middle Eastern, North African.
Okay.
So they did a study in 2015 because everything has to be evidence-based. They have to have like data and data to support adding a new category to the census. So in 2015, the Census Bureau, they conducted this study to determine like what would happen if we added this category. Like, would Middle Eastern people choose it instead of white? Like, let's see. And they found that when given this category, the percentage of people who identified as white dropped more than 60%.
Wow.
From 86 to 20%. That is so, I mean, 10%, 10% would have been significant. 60% it dropped. So with this clear evidence, like when President Obama saw these numbers, he's like, okay, in 2020, we're going to add this category because it is needed. And it's probably been needed for a while. But Trump is like, nah, we're not going to do that. Because it would have shown very clearly that this is not a majority white country.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, and I think most people do know, that the census is tied to a lot of really important things. It's tied to redistricting. It's tied to the way that education is doled out, social services. So this move that Trump did was a move to just kind of further disenfranchise immigrants and people of color. So I have another quote from Professor Stifler, who says that naming and acknowledging minority populations is important for giving various communities power. Consider that the census is used to allocate federal funding for many social services and appropriation of House seats. But the census has a long history of limiting the political clout of non-white populations. He goes on to say that we do a lot of health research on the Arab community, but you can't get funding because Arabs are not under the Office of Minority Health.
Yeah, I mean, it serves so many purposes to exclude people from this data and data.
So the MENA community in the early part of the 1900s, they, similar to the Mexican community, they lobbied really, really hard to be classified as white because there were a lot of benefits that came with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then as politics and world affairs changed, especially after 9/11, it became really, really clear that Muslims and MENA folks were not going to be treated as white or had never been treated as white is what it kind of revealed. So I understand why they wanted to initially, but they see that there's no protection for them under the umbrella of whiteness. So they need their own category. But I do have some good news. I feel like this has all been a bummer. The Biden administration, because Biden was part of Obama's administration, he has vowed to work with the Census Department to create this MENA category because it is overdue.
Yeah.
And he's also at the behest of the Latinx Hispanic community. A lot of them have been asking, like, we need to revise the way this question of Hispanic origin is asked. So he's going to look at both things.
Okay.
It is unclear what changes will happen as a result of this, you know, renewed look, but it needs to happen.
I mean, it's also like we've already seen that it kind of has more to do with who's in power when the census goes out. By 2030, who knows what'll happen.
I know. That's kind of what I'm feeling as well. But anything is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything is possible. But you're right. It's unfortunately become political.
Yeah.
Just counting who is in this country. Because this category, they said it needed to happen in 2015. Obama's like, we're doing this. And then here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
No category. So, yeah. However, there have been some really positive changes on the recent, the latest census compared to years past. They added a category for mixed race for the first time ever.
Okay.
It is to mixed success.
Yeah.
For the first time, they added lines under both black and white races, instructing people to clarify their racial background and identity.
Wow.
So someone who is like someone like the NYPD says is black, who's like from Colombia, can say that like, I'm black. That has been in my experience in this country. And yet I speak Spanish. I'm also, a member of that diaspora. Mm-hmm. Like, there is that nuance which they've added into the census, which I think is very overdue.
Yeah, absolutely.
However...
not the however.
I know. The system is not perfect. No system is.
Yeah.
But I read one article that was also from 538. It was surveying people who had selected this mixed race group. Because I think when they added it to the census, people were so excited because people will be able to identify how they want to identify. Like, this is powerful. However, how broad this category is, how someone who is, let's say, Turkish and Ecuadorian is also mixed race.
Yeah.
I mean, technically that's like variations of white according to the census, but like someone who is like Samoan and black is also in this same category of mixed race. There's a lot of variety. There's a lot of just like skin color variety that doesn't really reflect the whole spectrum of who is in, like, a lot of people get lost in this category. That's the feeling.
Is the octoroon
can we bring that
community
back?
Are they finally being represented?
They are just happy being white.
Yeah.
As their parents did. Like, no, the octoroon category is long dead. We're not counting them.
Sad.
Sad. So yeah, so there are people who are just like, it's very sticky.
Yeah.
Because we need to categorize people based on race, because that is the foundation of this country. And the only way to start to repair some of the harm done to these different racial categories is to count them. But lumping them all into this catch-all mixed race group is also like, who does that help? You know?
Totally.
So if we add the group of mixed race Americans to people who identify as white, then at least partially there are 70% of this of our country is partially white, whatever that means. But there are a lot of people under that umbrella of partially white that are like, I am not treated like I'm white.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Don't call me white. Like, yeah. I feel like we need to, like, I need to work for the census and I need to add
be a sensei.
I need to be a sensei. I think there needs to be a question about like treatment on the census. Like, do people follow you in the store? Like, do you wear do you wear any sort of a cultural headdress as part of your religion or part of your culture? Like, can you open carry in Ohio, or will your neighbor shoot you? Like, there needs to be this clarification. Is black pepper spicy? There needs to be this clarification.
Put raisins in the potato salad?
No. Your census, your like ballot should just like self-destruct. Like, Inspector Gadget. Like, absolutely not. No. No raisins, no mango and avocado mixed together and guacamole. Like, we don't need fruit in things that are savory. Don't you dare. I just think that in time, things will become more nuanced. We're not there yet, but I like that people are trying to figure out solutions to take a more accurate read of the demographics of this country. And I think Gen Z is really going to be our saving grace, because they are already pushing so hard, and they're already reflecting on the ways in which their own racial and ethnic backgrounds, like how they fit into American society at such a young age. It's like, I'm so in awe of Gen Z. I fucking love them. So many of their families are blended. I mean, I technically have a blended family. I have second cousins who are white.
Octoroons.
Octoroons. Quadroons and octoroons.
Quadroons, okay.
Yes. And I guess growing up, I didn't realize that was kind of a weird thing. I think because this was happening in Europe, I just assumed like, oh, you know, everyone's family is like has ties to Europe, and like things are less racially set and like segregated in Europe. But this new generation, there is more mixing and more just awareness of race because of who they're in class with every day. And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like this whole mini has been kind of all over the place, but that is the nature of race. So who cares?
Yeah.
Like, This is just what happens when you talk about race. You're going to be all over the place. But I just want to end with two key, like, just takeaways. One, the U.S. Census is fucking racist, like everything else. And two, I just want to say, like, millennials and even Gen Xers, they get a bad rap by boomers. By anyone who's younger than a boomer, they just think every generation is just the worst, that we're lazy, that we're entitled, that we're, you know, X, Y, and Z. But millennials and Gen Xers, they're raising way better children than any other generation. Mm-hmm. So fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off. These kids are going to save us. And seriously. I'm really, really hopeful for the future because of them. So yeah, the end.
Well, thank you for that. Obviously, the census was designed to be racist.
Yes.
But, like, it's wild the way it's all...
The levels of racism.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
But also...
Octoroon, get the fuck out of here.
But also, yeah, now I'm glad that I know the words octoroon and quadroon, because I will never stop using them. I feel like an octoroon sounds like it's, like, something made by Hostess.
Like, yes, oh my god, that's hilarious. It does. It sounds like it's something really sweet.
Yeah,
something with high fructose corn syrup and maybe like coconut.
Totally. Like, I was just gonna say coconut
yeah. shavings.
Yeah. Totally. And marshmallow or something. Yeah, it's like a snowball. Or
you get like four of them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Oh god,
now I'm gonna go to the store and buy an octoroon. But yeah, thank you for telling that story. I guess I need to put my wine down. Thank you guys so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Tux Lurzel.
Stephanie Domingo.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and podfather. We couldn't do this without him.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note that we are not historians. We're just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. A full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. And remember that written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media, and make sure you follow us on Instagram, because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves, and we have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.